You may now pass your peppermints. Droppies are better. Can I get a witness? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a little poll here. Who likes droppies better than peppermints? Okay, hold on. Someone, can you look? I cause you know me in numbers, not a good idea. So, droppy people? Peppermint people? It's pretty close. Yeah, okay, the combo is good, yeah. You pop them both in. It's great. And if you're new here, I am so sorry that you just had to listen to that. So I just want to reiterate how amazing this weekend has been. Volunteers have been everywhere. It's an incredible event. I just texted Anthony Jansen, who I think it was his brainchild, and this is an amazing event. And there is we need some help if it's going to continue. And so it would be awesome to talk to Curtis of, like, if you look at this event and you're thinking, man, we should do this again. I think I could really help organize and all that kind of stuff. Talk to Curtis, because you probably need some help. Well, Curtis needs lots of help. But you know that. Just kidding. So we've looked at the theme for this year is Unashamed. And we started looking and really asking the question, like, how are we going to live with ourselves? One of the hardest things in life, maybe you've not realized it yet, but it's hard to live with your own self. And we all have burdens, and we all carry them. And one of the things we learned is that one of God's greatest desires for us is to pass on the shame and the sin of our lives onto Him who died for us. So many young people today, and other people too, are living with so much pressure. Pressure to perform, pressure to be good, pressure to do what their parents want to do, pressure to not fail, pressure to be good Christians. And the cross of Jesus Christ is where we can give all of this to Him and be free to love Him. And so we looked at that. And I just want to just, again, challenge all of you young people. With the stuff in your life that you're really having a hard time, find a leader in your youth group this week and do not listen to the voices that say, there's no way I could share this. This is just too secret. This is too strong. This is too big of a sin. Because I'm telling you, the cross of Jesus Christ is powerful for everything. Share your burdens. Yesterday we talked a little bit about the gospel. Paul is not ashamed of. And we looked at the fact that every day, all the time, we are being accosted with gospels. There are messages out there all the time that promise salvation, that they're going to save us, right? I mean, I was just talking to someone the other day about this Dodge Ram commercial that basically said, all powerful, all agile, all beautiful. I'm like, that's God language. And that truck is going to break in like 2 years because it's a Dodge. Just kidding. But every day we get accosted with gospels. And one gospel stands. And one gospel has stood the test of time. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for so many of you, as we saw last night, you are at the verge of huge decisions. Big decisions. And all of these corporations and even schools, right? We have schools that come out. They know that you're about to make some huge decisions. You must ask the question, what are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That affirms that it is the truth in a world of lies. Well, now we're going to ask the question, what are we going to do with that gospel? Like, what are we called to do? We're here to be reactivated, right? Reactivate, not rethinkivated, not retheologivated, but reactivated. Theologivated is now a word. What is God calling us to do? Because if all we are is living in our forgiveness and not doing anything, that's like winning the lottery and not knowing how to spend it and not spending it. So what does God call us to do? So we're going to look at that today. And what God calls us to do is share this gospel. And that's basically the theme of what Paul is saying. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And so that's why he is sharing it. That's what his call is. His call is to share it with people who haven't heard about it before. But this is intimidating stuff. In my experience of doing what I do, which is a pastor, I want to see people come to Christ. I want people to know him. But I also know that in my own life, and so many people that they testify, it's super intimidating. One time after a service at my church on the mission of God, a woman came up to me and said, "Pastor Grant, I don't do that sort of thing. You just need to know. I don't do that blabby Jesus business, so don't expect anything out of me." 4 weeks later, she brings someone from her apartment complex to church who is now an unbelievably close follower of Christ. But a lot of us have that sort of idea, right, about evangelism, which is basically sharing the good news. We think that it has to be some sort of hokey, trick people into a conversation, whack them in the head with the Bible, and when they wake them up, drag them into the car to church sort of deal. So we don't want anything a part of that. But we also know the tension. We want people who don't know Christ yet in our lives to know him. So we know there's something to do, and we know there's a calling, but we're kind of scared to do it because we kind of don't know how to do it. That's where this passage, I think, today is very helpful to us, because I do believe that it speaks to the doability of mission, it speaks to the difficulty of mission, and it speaks to the fact that it is God's mission. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, 1-18. Are you doing the Bible stretch? That's good. You guys are amazing at it. It's the peppermints. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." So there Paul says, there's no tricks. "On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It's written, 'I've believed, therefore I've spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. The first thing we have to understand is that this mission that God calls us to is doable. Remember last night, we kind of looked at this, well, we did look at the story, maybe in a different angle, of the disciples. Now, does anybody remember why a rabbi would call disciples? Anybody? To replace him. They would carry on his ministry. They would do what he would do. Jesus did not come to earth to randomly walk around, zap people with his power so that their backs could be straighter, that they could see out of their eyes again, so they can hear some really good teaching, and then die, rise, and then go up to heaven and leave us all confused. Jesus' program is discipleship. Jesus' program is to call people to do what he is going, what he was doing after he left. That is why he calls the disciples. They are called to carry on this mission. And what did Jesus bring the kingdom of God to earth? As we are called, this is our mission. We see this with Paul, who writes so much of the New Testament, and here in the Romans, where our theme verse is, and here in 2 Corinthians. What is Paul's mission? Paul's mission is to preach to the Gentiles, to bring the kingdom to the Gentiles. Our mission is to bring Christ to others. We looked also yesterday, we mentioned that historians are still baffled as to see how the Christian message became so powerful. It's because people believed the mission and they had the Holy Spirit and the message exploded. So the mission is very clear. The mission of God is to bring the kingdom of God to people who don't yet know Christ. Primary. It was easier back then though, right? I mean, it's much harder now. It's much more complex. You know, as mentioned, social media and all the different things. But was it really different? I mean, the Roman world was pretty savage. It was pretty crazy. It was very chaotic. We might argue that it really isn't that much different, especially because the factor that brought so much success was the Spirit working in the people that went out. Now, I love this message or this metaphor that Paul uses, and we should too. These clay jars. Okay, clay jars. I bought this on Facebook Marketplace yesterday. It cost me $5. Clay jars in the first century world are the most common household items of the day. They were inexpensive. They served a whole bunch of different purposes. You'd put it on your head to get water. You know, you go to the well, probably with a bigger one. You would put water in it to wash your hands. Ceremonial washing was really important. Also, hygiene was very important, which some of your boys at this Reactive 8 session could learn about. Because I got in the bathroom a few times. You would use it to hold water to wash your clothes. You might store wheat or grains in it. They came in all shapes and sizes. Big, small, narrow, wide, just like us. And when archaeologists find ancient settlements, this is the most common thing they find. Pottery, clay. Now, because clay jars were so common, naturally people would hide their valuables in them, okay? So you'd go into a house, and if a thief was going to take something out of your house, you're going to want to hide your valuables in something that it was going to be hard to find it in. So you would hide it in just one of your many normal clay jars. It's probably good to hide it somewhere where they didn't find it. But the whole idea was is people put treasures in their clay jars. What Paul is saying is that we are the clay jars. We are in this world,
And we're hidden among all the other clay jars. But we got the treasure. You see, because we know Christ. That's the treasure. The treasure is that we have Jesus. And we're called to do ordinary life with other people who do ordinary life. Now, of course, we're called also around the world. In fact, I forget your name, sorry, but World Renew, dude, where are you? Chris? Chris is in the overflow. Hey, how you doing back there? Did they get peppermints? They didn't. Oh, should have came earlier. He was like, if you only could see how much we can do and how much ministry there is out there, and he truly believes that there is someone here today who probably will serve out there, way out there in the world. Most of us aren't. Most of us are called right here. And we're called to do life. That's the mission. That is simply the calling. And don't you often feel like when you're chilling with your non-Christian friends or you're hanging out and you're like, I'm really not that different with these people. Like, we struggle with the same things. Like, life is hard. But I got Jesus. And you see the difference that that makes. That is the treasure. So it's important that we have to realize that we need to be intentional about sharing this faith. Now, I love what Paul says in the beginning of this verse. There's no quackery. There's no tricks. We're not going to try to be deceptive to lead people to Christ. That's just weird. But we do have to be intentional, and we do have to do life with other people who don't know Christ. And this is hard for Reformed people. Right? We kind of grow up with the whole Christian club thing in us. It's kind of Kuyperian, which is great. Kuyper's a great dude. But it kind of starts from birth, right? We Christian kids go to Christian church, and then, well, we got to put them in a Christian preschool. I got to put them in the Christian school. And, well, they're going to go to Christian middle school, of course. And, well, they're going to the Christian high school. And there's a Christian hockey league, right? Oh, yeah, don't worry. What about all the other Christian sports clubs? Yeah, we'll find those. And then, what about university? Well, they got to go to Christian university, and then Christian, 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 Christian. One of my friends said she was so Christianized, by the time that she was 20, she worked at Tim Hortons. She had no idea how to talk to someone who didn't know Christ. And so this is kind of how it goes. It's just Christian, 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 and then the next generation does it, and then we all know where we end up, in the thrift store. Which is great. I can't wait. And it's an amazing ministry. But we can do the Christian, 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 Christian thing and have no idea how to talk to people who don't know Christ. That is not the mission. The mission isn't to just like get our clay jars with our treasures together and go, oh, how's your treasure? Oh, my treasure is great. I'm really struggling with this part of my treasure. Guys, there are people who are dying without Christ. So step out a bit. And I'm not saying, I'm not really one of these give a person the Bible track sort of people or trick people in a conversation. That's super weird, but we are the aroma of Christ. And for some, they don't like the aroma, but some are intrigued. And I can guarantee you, when you intentionally do life with people, they're going to start wondering what your treasure is. So get your kids out on a sports team that isn't, it's a community thing. One thing that our family found is when you're hanging out with people who don't know Christ and you kind of are hanging out with other kids, like these little clay jars are parented by larger clay jars, and you kind of do clay jar stuff together, and before you know it, they're actually interested in why you believe what you believe. So it is doable, this mission, but it does take some intentionality
and some risk. This is also the truth. The mission's hard. We do an unbelievable disservice to our kids. And I'm going to tell you this to you young people today, right now. We as parents, people in our churches, we do an unbelievable disservice to you when we do not prepare you for how hard life is going to be and is. In fact, I want to tell you right now, this might just be the hardest year that you've ever going to have going into school. I want you to prepare for that. Life is hard. It's difficult. The Bible promises that. The truth of the matter also is that when it comes to the Christian life, the Christian mission is difficult. It seems to be a little counterintuitive, and I think a lot of happens. You make a commitment towards Christ, and you're thinking, I'm God's team now. We're going like 72-0. It's going to be easy. Thank you, Jesus. And it's sometimes like meetings like this, right? This weekend kind of goes like that, right? It's like you get all jazzed up and like, whew, good with God, and everything's great, and yeah, I made some great commitments, and my prayer's on track, and I'm going to read my Bible more. And then you go home. Your parents are just as unfair as they were before. Your sister steals just as much clothes as she did before. Your little brother smells just as bad as before. The teacher assigns just as much homework as before. And then you're like, really, God? Like, I thought we had a thing here. I thought it was going to be easier if I followed you. No. Just look at Paul here. In verse 8, he gives the picture of just what sort of resistance we face when we follow Christ and spread his name. He says we're hard-pressed on every side. We're crushed, perplexed. We're not in despair. We're persecuted. We're not abandoned, but we are struck down and we're not destroyed. Here's something we need to know. The more serious you get about Christ in your life, the fiercer the opposition. The world and the powers that be in it do not like this message. Because it's truth. Because it saves. The more your Christian faith is ramped up, the more opposition there will be. Look at Jesus' life. Look at the apostles' life. Look at Paul's life. The more light that's getting out, even though it chases the darkness away, the darkness doesn't like it. The Christian walk is difficult. It's not comfortable. It brings security in our faith, but it is difficult. It's hard. And on top of that, we get the hardships of life that everybody else gets in life. But God's faithful. You will suffer. And sometimes you will suffer so much that you'll even break. God will allow you to break. And some of you even know that right now. Some of you this past year, you've had someone die in your life. Suddenly, they're ripped away from you and you're broken. Some of you have gone through a marriage that has fallen apart and you're broken. Some of you have gotten news from the doctor recently and it's not good and you're broken. Some of you young people recently, like, you may have been cut from a sports team and you're broken. You wanted it. You broke up with a boyfriend or girlfriend that you thought you'd spend the rest of your life with and you're broken. Broken happens. I want to show you something really cool. There was a king, I don't know his name, and this king would hide. He would melt all of his... Why is he holding a hammer? It's not because I can build anything, I'll tell you that much. So this king would melt all of his valuable metals, and he'd put them in clay jars. And he'd hide them all about. So if he ever got raided, these guys would never know where the gold was, because lots of dumb kings would put them in storehouses that said, gold is here. Not a good idea. So how would he get the gold out? How would he get the treasure out? He'd break it.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. It was $5. I got another one. I got 2 for $10 at the thrift store. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Andy. You see, when we break, and I don't know if this is Paul's analogy or not, but when we break, that is often the time in our lives when Jesus is seen most clearly in us. And some of you know that in intimate ways you've never even imagined before. That all of a sudden now, people are seeing something in you they have never seen before so clearly, and that's Jesus Christ. In the economy of God, we are going to struggle. We are going to suffer. And we are going to break. And sometimes the mission is something we're not even thinking about, but God is working. And God is showing His treasure through us. Last thing we need to know is that the mission is God's. I am so glad I'm a Calvinist, and I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God works. It's very mysterious to me. I don't go into it too much. But I believe that this is God's mission. And some of us, and I know that, I've heard some stories from you this weekend from other people. You have a burden on your life. And the burden on your life is, I really got to do this stuff. You know, I really, it's so important. You know, I don't pray hard enough, you know, and I don't witness hard enough. And you know what? God's got you. Chill a little bit. Come to Him. Know Him. He's got you. If you look at Paul's life, if you want to look at a hard life, read 2 Corinthians. Not only is his church, like, beating him up, wherever he goes, he's getting beat up. In fact, 2 Corinthians is basically the letter of, oh my goodness, I'm glad I'm not Paul. And he's the one that says to us, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Yeah, you're going to fall a lot. Yep, you're going to make big mistakes. Yep, you're not going to pray hard enough. But I got you. I love you. I'm working in you. I've got a plan. And sometimes you're going to fail. He's got you. And sometimes you're going to be bitterly disappointed. He's got you. He's working. This year might be really hard for you. And this weekend might fade away. And you'll be like, yeah, I remember there were some really cool things. And like God spoke and I really felt close to God. And I don't really feel that anymore. God's got you. He's working. He's got a plan that's just unbelievable. Don't lose heart. Had a conversation a little while ago with someone. And they were saying that it is really hard sometimes for the church to come together and, you know, like work together with young people. Like, we need each other. You know that? Well, Paul writes this. He writes this to a group. They're a church. We need each other. Young people need the old people. Old people need the young people. We need to do life together. Because this is how God so often works in our lives, so that we can go out and be that mission. And I'm calling you all in this church, and I'm calling you, all of you when you go home, engage in the life of these young people. When a young person comes up and asks you, hey, do you think you can give me some guidance on something? Could we go out for coffee? Go! You might be like, oh, like, I'm kind of dumb. Why do they want to go with me? Well, because they don't think you are. They think you're amazing. Foster this in each other because it's hard. And it's how God works. As we go out today, may we remember that Christ became sin for us. He who was no sin became sin for us, so we didn't have that burden anymore. That he went to the cross, scorning its shame, so that we could live and know him. May we remember the gospel, and may we trust God in this mission. I want to end this morning with how Eugene Peterson paraphrases the last few verses of this chapter. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making life new, not a day goes by with without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. Let's pray.